ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती भक्तिर्श्लोक नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 28. एतत्वात् त्वं हि विभुभिर् भाव्यं दिनेषु वत्सलै यत् अनुस्मर्यते काले स्व बुद्ध्या भद्रा रंदना. एतवा त्वं हि विभुभिर् भाव्यं दीनेषु वत्सलै यत् अनुस्मर्यते काले स बुद्ध्या भद्ररंदना. एतवा त्वं हि विभुभिर् भाव्यं दीनेषु वत्सलै यद् अनुस्मर्यते काले स्वबुद्ध्या भद्ररंदना. एतवा त्वं हि विभुभिर् भाव्यं दीनेषु वत्सलै यत् अनुस्मर्यते काले स बुद्ध्या भद्ररंदना.
एतावत् त्वं हि विभुभिर्
कार्यं दिनेषु वत्सले यत् अनुस्मर्यते काले सबुद्ध्या भद्ररन्दना एतवात् दस् त्वं योर लॉर्डशिप ही सर्टनली विभु बी by expansions, bhavyam, to be conceived, dineshu, unto the humble devotees, vatsale, compassionate, yat, which, anusmaryate, is always remembered, kale, in due course of time, sabuddhya, by one's devotional service. Abhadra Randana, O killer of all inauspiciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, You are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon Your poor devotees through the expansion of Your Archa Vigraha. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants. Purport. The form of the Lord, known as Archa Vigraha, is an expansion of His unlimited potencies. When the Lord is gradually satisfied with the service of a devotee, in due course of time, He accepts the devotee as one of His many unalloyed servants. By nature, the Lord is very compassionate. Therefore, the service of neophyte devotees is accepted by the Lord. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.26, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Upahritam Asnami Pratyatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. The devotee offers eatables in the form of vegetables, fruits, leaves and water to the Archa Vigraha. The Lord, being Bhakta Vatsala, compassionate upon His devotees, accepts these offerings. Atheists may think that the devotees are engaged in idol worship, but the fact is different. Janardana, the Supreme Lord, accepts Bhava, the attitude of service. The neophyte devotee engaged in the worship of the Lord may not understand the value of such worship. But the Supreme Lord, being Bhakta Vatsala, accepts his devotee and in due course of time takes him home. In this connection, there is a story about a Brahmana who was offering sweet rice to the Lord within his mind. The Brahmana had no money nor any means of worshipping the deity. But within his mind, he arranged everything very nicely. He had gold pots to bring water from the sacred rivers to wash the deity. And he had the deity very sumptuous, and he offered the deity very sumptuous food, including sweet rice. Once, before he offered the sweet rice, he thought that it was too hot. And he thought, oh, let me test it. My, it is very hot. When he put his finger in the sweet rice to test it, his finger was burned and his meditation broken. Although he was offering food to the Lord within his mind, the Lord accepted it nonetheless. Consequently, the Lord in Vaikuntha immediately sent a chariot to bring the Brahmana back home, back to Godhead. Thus, it is the duty of every sincere devotee to accept the Archa Vigraha at home or in the temple and worship the form of the Lord as advised in authorized scriptures and directed by the spiritual master. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 4, Chapter 30 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the activities of the Prachetas, text 28. Omagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupagatam Ahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shri Matei Chaipataka Swamini Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Padayine Gorakata Damadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shri Matei Gopi Paranadana Dase Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shri Matei Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyadya Deshtarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhi Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Yatam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Yatam Shri Gundam Paramananda Manav Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana Smriti Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Smriti Pritam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So here, in this text, I'll read the translation again. Etavatvam hi vibhavir bhavyam dinesh vatsalai yad anusmaryate kale sabuddhya badra randana. Translation, dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your poor devotees through the expansion of your archa vigraha. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants. So the Prachetas are continuing their prayers to the Supreme Lord. And the compassion of the Lord upon the devotees through his manifestation as the Archa Vigraha is mentioned in this verse. According to our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, the Archa Vigraha or the deity form of the Lord is not as good as the Supreme Lord. Rather, the deity form of the Lord is the Supreme Lord. There is no difference whatsoever between the Supreme Lord and his deity form. That's our philosophy. Not that the deity form is as good as the Supreme Lord. No, the deity form is the Supreme Lord. That has been what is explained to us by our previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada. Now, Prabhupada in different lectures, he mentions that Krishna, just like it's mentioned here, the form of the Lord, Prabhupada mentions, known as Archa Vigraha, is an expansion of his unlimited potencies. So Srila Prabhupada explains in different lectures that Krishna, being omnipotent, he's got all potencies and he's got unlimited potencies. So he can transform spirit into matter and matter into spirit. So he explains the manifestation of the Archa Vigraha in that form. That Krishna, being omnipotent, he can appear in a form that is visible to our eyes. We cannot see a spiritual form. So therefore, Krishna transforms that form in a manner that we can see it. We can see the Lord. Now, from the time that Srila Prabhupada established the Krishna Consciousness Movement, all the way until his disappearance, to establish the fact that the Archa Vigraha is non-different from the Supreme Lord, Prabhupada narrates the story of the Sakshi Gopal deity throughout his lectures, to all the years from 1966 all the way until 1977. I don't know how many of you have heard the way Prabhupada narrates that story. It's very interesting. How many of you have heard it? Could you raise your hands? Some of you. Okay. So, let me narrate the way, of course, I can't narrate the manner in which Prabhupada did it, but just let me just tell you how he did it in 1966. This is in New York, the very early stages of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So, Prabhupada says that once there was an old Brahmana who wanted to go to Vrindavan. And during those days, There was no railway lines, so it was a very difficult endeavor to go to Vrindavan from Orissa. He wanted to go from Orissa to Vrindavan. So being old, he took the help of an assistant who was a young man. Now this old Brahmana was from an aristocratic family and this young man was from a poor family. So he was serving this old Brahmana in a very nice manner. And Prabhupada observes that he was just doing whatever the old Brahmana wanted. And Prabhupada says, even today you can find some boys are like that. They just serve nicely, although it may not be so common. So, but Prabhupada said, still there are some boys like that. So after reaching Vrindavan, this old Brahmana was so satisfied with this boy's service that he said that when we go back to Orissa, I would like to offer you my daughter in marriage. Now this young boy, he knew they were in the temple of Gopal when this old Brahmana mentioned this. So this young boy, he knew what is the implication of mentioning something in the front of the deities. So he tried to reason with this old man. Please don't do this, because I mean, now because you're happy, you're promising me this, but once you go back, your wife and your elder son, they may not allow you to do this. So please be careful, because you're speaking in front of the deities, and once you speak something in front of the deity, then you have to fulfill it. So please don't speak like this. But the old man said, no, I'll manage that. No, I want to offer my daughter in marriage to you. So finally the young man relented, and the man promised in front of the deity, the old Brahmana, he promised in front of the deity that he would offer his daughter to this young boy. And soon they reached, sooner or later, whatever, because it takes a long time, they reached Orissa. And this old Brahmana called his elder son, and Prabhupada mentions that his elder son was an atheist. So he called his elder son and he said, I have promised to offer this young boy who accompanied me on my pilgrimage to Vrindavan, our daughter, your younger sister. And immediately the man protested. He said, no, he's from a very poor family, we are from a very aristocratic family, so how can we do this? And immediately the wife also heard this conversation. She came and said, if you attempt to do this, I'm going to commit suicide. So the old man was in a big dilemma. And internally, he wanted to actually fulfill his promise. But because of this elder son, he was in a dilemma now, because of the elder son and his wife threatening to commit suicide. Meanwhile, this young boy, he was wondering, what happened to this Brahmana? He's promised in front of the deity. And Prabhupada mentions, it is not that the young boy was so much interested in marrying that daughter, but rather he was interested that this old Brahmana should maintain his word to the deity. So then he goes and approaches this Brahmana and tells him, sir, please, I've come here, and you remember that you had promised in Vrindavan that you would marry, you'd offer your daughter in marriage to me. And immediately there is a big commotion, there's a big fight. The old man was silent, the elder son came out, the wife, it's a big commotion. And so then they called, in the older days, that is the system, they would call the other elder members of the village. And the elder son of this Brahmana, being an atheist, he put forward this proposal. You're saying that this promise is made in front of the deity, so let him come and give witness. So I'll offer my sister in marriage to you. So finally, all the people agreed to this condition. And then, this young boy goes to Vrindavan and he tells the deity. He explains whatever happened in the village and said, so now you please accompany me to my village and please give witness that you heard this promise. So the deity says, I am a statue, how can I walk? And then this young boy replies, if you can talk, you can also walk. This is how Prabhupada narrates it. And so the deity accepts, all right. So then the deity says that, okay, you don't, when you're walking towards a village, I'll be following you from behind. You'll hear my ankle bells. But do not turn behind. If you turn behind and look, then I'm going to stop wherever you look. So then this boy, all the way he went to the, almost he reached the village. Then he didn't hear the ankle bell. So he was curious and he turned back. And immediately the deity stopped there, no more walking. So then, anyway, it was close to the village. So then all the people came and they saw. And this atheist couldn't believe it. So, I mean, he knew that, Prabhupada mentions that the deity was quite heavy. So it's not possible that he could have just brought the deity from Vrindavan. You didn't have cranes and all these heavy equipment those days. So it was obvious, it was clear that the deity had walked. But still being an atheist, he wanted to somehow foil this whole thing. And so he started making complaints. He said, oh, this boy, he's insincere. He went with my father to assist him. But while he was in Vrindavan, he plundered my father. And he not only plundered my father, he gave him LSD. So Prabhupada is giving this class in New York, 1966. So he said, he gave my father LSD. So, and finally, whatever. And then, the village people wouldn't accept. And finally, he got, he had to give his daughter, his sister in marriage to this boy. So this is in 1966. And later in 1973, this 66 lecture was in New York. 1973, Prabhupada gives a lecture in Stockholm. Again, he narrates the same story. And when he comes to this point about when this young boy tells the deity, if you can walk, you can also talk. So immediately at that point, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna, he immediately accepted, I'm defeated by your logic. So Prabhupada says, Krishna was defeated by logic. So that's another way in which Prabhupada narrated it. So this is an example that the deity is actually non-different from the Supreme Lord. And close to our Mayapur, we have a place called Ambika Kalna, which is the place of Gauridas Pandit. So it has the, it is the only place which has deities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, which were manifest during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence. There are no other deities which were manifest. All the deities manifested after his presence. But during his presence, these are the only deities which manifested during his presence. And that story is very interesting. I think many of you may know it. But nevertheless, it's very purifying to narrate that story. So once Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were visiting Gauridas Pandit. And Gauridas Pandit was so attached to serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, he didn't want them to go. So then, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they manifested in the form of the deity. And they said, okay, you don't want us to go. So our deities are non-different from us. Let them stay here and let us go, because our deities are non-different from us. So then they said, no, let the deity, you are saying that the deities, the Gauridas Pandit said, you are saying that the deities are not different. So let the deities go, you stay here. What does it do? You're saying not different. So you stay here, let the deities go. So immediately Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they assumed the form of the deity. They became motionless with the hands, just like the form of the deity. And the deities became mobile. So then he got convincing. No. Let's go back to the original plan. So once again, the mobile deities became became Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda became the deities. So like this, it kept going back and forth. So he was confused each time this would happen. So after I think it happened about 20 or 22 times. So after so many repetitions, he was really confused. Which are the deities and which is Lord Chaitanya, which is Lord Nityananda. So that is the pastime at Ambika Kalla. And these deities, they have another pastime which I wouldn't go into here, where they once disappeared from there. So this is a temple where you can have the darshan of the deities only for a few seconds, and immediately they close the curtain. And the government has a plan to build a bridge across the Jalangi. So once that bridge comes up, then you have to go, I mean, the shortest route to the airport or the city would be through Ambika Kalla. So even now, I mean, whenever I get the opportunity, I ask the driver to go through Ambika Kalla. It is a much better route. It takes about half an hour more to get to the airport, but you don't have traffic jams, you don't have bad roads, everything is wonderful, and you can have darshan of the deities of Ambika Kalla. So now we may think that, okay, these are old stories or ancient stories. What about us? We're living here in this 21st century amidst all the different complexities. These are nice stories to hear. What about our own lives? I mean, can we see the Supreme Lord non-different from His actual form? Will He reciprocate with us just like He reciprocated with all these devotees? Actually, the reciprocation is always happening. It's only a question of whether we can see it or not. Sometimes it's more obvious and sometimes it's less obvious. But if we develop that mood of depending on the deities, then you'll begin to see more and more how the Lord is manifesting, He's reciprocating with you in different ways in your life. A few months ago, I was thinking that there is a phase in my life, maybe 5-6 years ago or 7 years ago, when I was so dependent on the deities, and there would be so much reciprocation. And I was thinking, these days I'm so distracted, I'm just going on with life, doing so many things. But what happened to that? That I was so dependent on the deities, and there was so much reciprocation. So I was contemplating on this, and today I was actually supposed to leave to Ekachakra. And then yesterday, this devotee who arranges for class called me and said, can you give a class tomorrow, Bhagavatam? And I've been taught that when somebody asks you to speak on Bhagavatam, that is most important. So I thought, okay. And then I looked at what is this verse. So I was fascinated. Here is a chance to talk about deities. And this is what I'd been thinking about. So I would like to tell you one story. It is about a devotee who lives here in Mayapur. It's a very amazing story of our deities, Radha Madha. Many of you may not have heard the story. I was a witness to different parts of this event. Back in the early 90s, there was one devotee who gave up his education, shaved up, and joined the temple. This is in South India. And this devotee actually quit medical school. And during those days, to enter medical school in India, you had to pay, even now it's very expensive, but relatively it was more expensive in terms of the value of money and more difficult also. But somehow he quit medical school and he joined the temple. And his father was very influential and he was very powerful. So, first time, although the temple president was cautious, one day the police raided the temple. And here he was in the Brahmachari ashram. And the temple was not very big at that time, although the campus was big, but the temple was not big. And there is very little place to hide. You had the Brahmachari quarters and you had a little away a temple president and his wife and the vice president and wife. There are only two grihasthas. So the temple president's wife was very smart. So she immediately arranged for this Brahmachari to leave the ashram, go to her house, and she dressed him up in a sari. And while the police was raiding the campus, she gracefully took him out in the sari and took him out of the campus. And they knew that this was very dangerous to keep him in that temple. So they sent him to Mayapur. And he was here for some time. And you know how temple presidents are. You don't lose a devotee, right? So after a while, the temple president said, okay, now things seem to have settled down. It was many months after that. And his father probably was searching everywhere. And how do you locate somebody in a remote place like that? For somebody in South India, Most South Indians have never traveled east to Calcutta. So to come to, Mayapur and locate somebody, it's very difficult. And you didn't have Google searches, so you had to really find out where is your headquarters, and it's quite difficult. So everything was calm, and the temple president called him back. And within a week, again there was a raid in the temple. And this time, they managed to capture him. And they took him to a hospital, they tried to give him psychiatric drugs and different things. And finally, they took him home, and he was under house arrest. You know, not allowed to go anywhere. So, and meanwhile, there would be brainwashing sessions. How you should go back to school every day. Why you should go back to school. Why ISKCON will never protect you. They'll abandon you. And all these different things, you know. And so, this was going on day after day after day. And each day, he was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. No, I'm going to go back. So, but it was a deadlock. He also internally knew he can't do anything to get out of this situation. So one day he had a dream where Radha Madhav appeared to him in the dream and told him, just come to Mayapur, we'll take care of you. So although he was opposing so much to go back to school, after seeing this dream, after having this dream, he had an idea. He said, look, I'll trick them. Then he, next day, when his father was speaking to him, he said, I think I'm sort of convinced that I should go back to school. And he started going along with whatever his father was saying. And soon they made plans. Let's take him back to school. And over the next few days, they were convinced that he really wants to go back. Probably he realized his mistakes and all that. So his father took him to his medical school. It was in a different state of India. So he took him to that school and dropped him off there. And by now he was confident, okay, the way he was behaving, his son was behaving, that he's going to be there in school. So he dropped him off at the college, and he left to the railway station. And this devotee, he went into the room, he had not packed his bag, and he was observing his father. He saw his father go to the railway station, and he left to the bus station. And somehow it took a long while, but he reached Mayapur. And the point to remember is Radha Madhav had said that we protect you, just come to Mayapur. And so again a few months had passed, and his father actually came to Mayapur, and he was here for not one day or 2 days, but he was here for so many days. So 4 or 5 days, you know, because he thought that, where else could he go? You know, he says South India temples, he already searched, he's not there. So maybe this is your headquarters. Somehow he found out and he came here. And actually this is a miracle, because the kind of service that this devotee was doing at that time, it is very easy to locate him. Although his father was here for 5 days, or I don't remember the exact period, but it was more than 3 days. He was searching for this, for his son, and somehow nobody could say where he was. You know, although he was doing some service which everybody knew about. So that way, and his father went back, and later when his son contacted his father, it was about 20 years later or something, when he wanted to get married. So he called him to invite him to his marriage. So Radha Madhav maintained their words, and they protected their devotee. So this is a very inspirational story, and this devotee still lives in our community. So to the degree that we are surrender, to the degree that we are sincere, we can see the reciprocation. It is not that the reciprocation does not happen, it happens all the time. Like for example, here Prabhupada says, even to neophyte devotees, even with neophyte devotees, Krishna reciprocates. So Krishna is always involved actively with our lives. It's only a question of whether we can see it or not. That is important. So the more we become dependent, that's my own experience, that the more I was dependent on the deities, the more I was able to see it. But the less dependent I became, the less I was able to see it. So if we cultivate this mood of dependence on the deities, then we can see more of the deity's involvement in our lives. And Prabhupada explains that here, especially it says that your poor devotees, the expression poor devotees is used, and Prabhupada mentions here that there's one particular sentence where the translation says, you're the killer of all inauspicious things, you're compassionate upon your poor devotees. By nature, the Lord is very compassionate, therefore the service of neophyte devotees is accepted by the Lord. Prabhupada is mentioning that point. Therefore the service of devotees is accepted, he is very compassionate. We should be convinced of this fact. And later on we see how Prabhupada is mentioning that if one offers, he quotes this verse, but one offers me with love, a flute, flower, water, I'll accept it. So, if we see in the West, Prabhupada in the earlier, the third canto, he mentions in our purport, that if you actually look at the standard of deity worship, it's quite stringent. You can't worship the deity without Ganges water and different things. So while Prabhupada is in the West, he explains in this purport in the third canto, that the Lord is so kind that even if you cannot worship him with Ganges water, still he accepts the next best thing. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. That he's eager to accept any offering of love. He's called Bhavagrahi Janardana. So out of love, if we offer him something, then he accepts. However, the important point is we have to offer with love according to the direction of the spiritual master. That Prabhupada mentions very, very clearly. As advised in authorized scripture and directed by the spiritual master. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a song, What Lord Chaitanya Eats. So that is, God is a person, just like we are all persons. We have our personal likings. So God is also a person. He has his own likings. He likes certain foodstuffs, laddus, different things he likes. Now I may not like a laddu, I may like pizza. Okay, but the Lord may be kind enough to accept that. But that may not be what the Lord eats. What the Lord eats is mentioned. He has his own personal preferences, but out of his compassion, he may accept whatever we offer with love. So we cannot twist it and say, okay, the Lord accepts whatever we offer out of love. So let us offer different foodstuffs. That's okay, because of your conditioning, you're not able to relish what the Lord relishes. So you can offer whatever you want. But we cannot turn it around and say that, okay, the Lord accepts everything. That's impersonalism. To say that, okay, the Lord accepts everything, let's offer anything to the Lord. No, we have to follow the direction of the spiritual master. The direction of the previous acharyas. This is a prescribed method. How do you do it? In fact, Prabhupada is so particular, I've heard that he even mentioned how many puris to offer to the Supreme Lord. You know, so we have a certain prescription how to worship the Supreme Lord, and we follow that prescription. So that is an important element in our worship of the deities, that when something that is prescribed is not available, we substitute it with the next best thing, like no Ganges water, use simple water. Yeah. But we cannot concoct things such as dress the deities like in Vrindavan, they dressed Banki Bihari in jeans. So that created a big commotion. So whether it's India or the West, just to preach to the people, you cannot do these kind of things. What is authorized and what is not authorized, we have to take it from the words of the spiritual master, words of Prabhupada, words of the scripture. So we have some words, the precedent set by the previous acharyas. Actually, I don't have a watch with me and I don't see a clock here. What is the time? Okay. So I'll end with one story about, since this verse speaks about poor devotees and Lord is always, he kills inauspicious things. In Udupi, in South India, there is the temple of Dancing Gopal. In fact, that expression Dancing Gopal is used by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself to describe that deity in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Udupi, there is the deity of Madhvacharya called Dancing Gopal. In fact, it's called Udupi Krishna, but Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami calls him Dancing Gopal. So, this deity, there's a very interesting story of how this deity came there. Once there was a ship passing by Udupi, and it was about to be wrecked. And then Madhvacharya was actually on the coast. He was meditating. So in his meditation, he saw that the Lord is coming towards the coast, or passing in the direction of the coast with a deity. I mean, in the deity form. So immediately he opened his eyes and he saw the ship being in trouble. So he made different signals, and finally the captain, he managed to bring the ship towards the shore. And he was so pleased that he saved him. That the captain was so pleased that Madhvacharya saved him, that he asked Madhvacharya, what shall I offer you? And usually to balance ship, they use clay. So in the olden days, they used clay, lumps of rock and clay. So Madhvacharya told him, there are two or one lump of clay in your ship, give that to me. So he was very surprised. That all that he's asking was for a lump of clay. So, but inside that was the deity of Gopal. So Madhvacharya installed it in Udupi, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes how when Lord Chaitanya visited Udupi, he was so ecstatic on seeing the deity. He was dancing. He was ecstatically dancing in front of the deity. Now, this deity has a contemporary pastime. This deity, usually in all temples, the deity is facing the east, at least most temples facing the east. But in this temple, the Gopal deity is facing the west. In the 16th century, there was a saint called Kanakadas. He was a great devotee in one of the, in the Madhva line. But being from the lower caste, he was disallowed from going into the temple. So, being humble, he was just behind the temple and he was just singing songs in glorification of the Lord. And suddenly, the wall broke open. The deity turned and he could have darshan of the deity. So, I was going through a Wikipedia search, and I noticed there that historians have claimed that on that particular day, there was an earthquake. And the earth did shake on that particular day. So, I mean, from whatever records they have. So this is an example of the Supreme Lord being very kind upon his devotees. He was just humble, and he was just chanting simply in glorification of the Lord. He was not doing it so that the Lord does all these things and he could have darshan. He was just humbly, because he was not allowed, he was just doing it. And to this day, you can see that when you enter the temple of Udupi, the deity, you go straight into the main door, all that you see is the back of the deity room. Then you have to go all the way around, and then you can see the deity, and you don't have doors to see the deity, because the door is the other side is locked. So you have a window. So through the window you can see. So that window was created by the Lord so that he can give darshan to his devotee. So that is the nature of the Supreme Lord, that he can do amazing things. The deity is not as good as the Supreme Lord. The deity is the Supreme Lord. And this is our philosophy. And we are actually so fortunate that Prabhupada mentions that in this age, deity worship and chanting the holy names, they go simultaneously on two. It's like he said, he gave the example of two railway tracks. So in ISKCON, he said we should keep it like that. Deity worship and chanting the holy names should go on simultaneously. Both are not different from the Supreme Lord. So we have such a great opportunity. The deity is Krishna is personally present as the deity. Krishna is personally present as the holy name. And if we take shelter of both of them, as Prabhupada mentions, like the railway track, then we can surely go back home, develop pure love for God, and go back home, back to God. So I think I'll stop here. So if there's any comments or questions. Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'll tell you that story. What happened was that after the deities were installed, Gauridas Pandit used to worship these deities, and he had a disciple called Hridayananda. So, one day, Hridayananda had arranged for a big Gaur Purnima festival. And this festival was arranged in a pandal near to the deity, near to the temple. Just even now if you go, you can see that. There's a big tree there. So, and while that festival was going on, the deities were so interested to attend that festival. While Gauridas Pandit was, I'm preparing to offer aarti to the Supreme Lord, or preparing to offer bhoga, trying to worship the Supreme Lord, suddenly he noticed that the deities have vanished. So, it mentions that he took a stick and he went to find out, whereas because he had that mood of constantly taking care of Gauridas, he took a stick and ran out to see where they've gone. And he noticed that they're on the stage, watching Hriday Chaitanya performing this big festival, Gaur Purnima festival. You know, so then seeing Gauridas Pandit coming with a stick, the deities got frightened. They wanted to hide. So they entered into Hridayananda's heart. So that's why he's called as Hriday Chaitanya, the Lord who entered into his heart. But of course, that's the pastime of... but later they appeared from his heart and came back to their place. But to hide, he went into the heart. They went into the heart of Hridayananda. So that's why he's called Hriday Chaitanya. No, so Gauridas Pandit wants to be careful that this may happen again. So then he established that system that the deities will not be exposed for a long time. So then he started that system of closing the deities so they don't run away. And they follow that tradition very strictly even to this day. The last time that I visited Ambika Kalna was in January, you know. And let me tell you something interesting. When you say deities, there is something interesting about this. The last visit, usually when my wife accompanies me, I never travel to Calcutta by car because she feels very nauseous. So we always travel by train. But first time that I tried to book the ticket, a lot of seats were available, but somehow the internet didn't work or something happened, I couldn't do it. This happened a few times, and it was one day to go, and on that day also it failed. So then I told my wife, we have only one option, we have to go by car. And if we go by car, we may as well go through Ambika Kalna. Let's not go through the other route, you know. She said, no way, I can't go to Calcutta in a car, I can't travel even for 15 minutes in a car. So then I told her, no, we're going through Ambika Kalna, so you'll not be nauseous. I'm sure you'll not be nauseous, let's try. You know, she said, no. Finally, half an hour before I was leaving, she said, okay, let me try. You know, so she actually came with me, and believe it or not, she did not feel nauseous actually. And when we reached Ambika Kalna, we noticed that there was renovation going on, you know. And what they had done was, now I heard it's fully renovated. And what they had done was, there is a room adjacent there to the temple where they cook, and so there's another room. So they had kept the deities in that room, and they had completely locked that room, sealed from all sides. So although we requested, could we have darshan, said no, they'll not open the door, it's completely locked, after 2 months they'll give darshan. So even now they're very, very serious about not allowing the deity to be exposed to a long time. Even when the renovation is going on, they've sealed him, locked him. Of course they offer bhoga water, but they're very careful, no darshans. Because he has already left the main, what's it, he's already left his main altar in somewhere else, so they're extra careful. Yes. Yeah.
So if the deity comes back, then it is a chance for every one of us to take direct darshan. If we have any doubts that there's a different deities and Lord, go to Amita Kalna and have direct darshan of Lord Buddha.
Yeah, that pastime actually proves that there is no difference, absolutely no difference between the Supreme Lord and this deity form.
Just in case anyone has any doubt about it.
No, but why? Doubt, so you're saying that they could be the original form? But then the whole point of my class was, what is the difference between the original form and the deity form?
Yeah, that's why I say, if anyone has any doubt,
Israel.
The word there, Adiatra.
Okay.
The word there, Malati.
No, that may be, there are two date temples there. One is Suryadas Pandit temple and one is Gauridas Pandit temple. Suryadas Pandit temple is open all the time. But not, they are identical deities, but not Gauridas Pandit temple. Yeah. So that may be the Gauridas Pandit temple. They are identical, exactly identical. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you.